Okay, so this is not a specifically Pesach topic, but it does come up a lot on Pesach, especially if you don't eat gebrachts. If you do eat gebrachts, excuse me, if you don't eat gebrachts, you don't have this question, generally speaking. Well, maybe on the last day of Pesach, if you eat gebrachts, you want to know the answers to this question. But on those days, generally speaking, you're eating a yontif meal, so you're washing and benching at every meal, so it doesn't really come up that much. But for those of us who do partake in matzah-based creations, this is a very relevant topic. And the Gemara that it comes from is a Gemara in Brachos, which I'll try to share the source sheet with you on the screen. One sec. Here we go. Okay. So if you take a look, this is a Gemara. So the thing about the sixth parak in Brachos is that it's not really a hard parak. It's just very technical in terms of figuring out what all these foods are. And therefore, a lot of the difficulty that comes up in the sixth parak is really just understanding. It's not in Lumdus or in any kind of any kind of deep difficulty trying to figure out what makes the sugyas tick. It's much more about identifying things. And this is no exception, this particular Gemara. So we start off with the discussion of chavitza, although we'll see that this Gemara, as do many Gemaras in the sixth parak, have a lot of relevance on Pesach, and there is a Pesach connection in this Gemara as well. So the Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Yosef, hai chavitza de isbe perurin kezayis. So if you have this food called chavitza, and if the crumbs, meaning it doesn't mean literally crumbs, but if the pieces of bread that are in it are kezayis, betchilam avar chalav hamotzim lechem in aretz, ulvesof mavar chalav shalosh brachos. So you start off with the bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz, and then you bench at the end. Delays be pirurin kezayis, but if it's the same food, chavitza, and the crumbs or the pieces of bread are not a kezayis, I mean they're smaller than a kezayis, but tchilam avarach ala barim emezon, so v'sof bracha achas me'ein shalosh. So you make a mezonos and an al hamechia, but you would not wash and bench on such a food. Now, to start us off, let's just try to figure out what a chavitza is. So Rashi helps us out, and he says, chavitza ke'ein shlenaikuk. So obviously everybody knows what a shlanai cook is, so no need to continue, but just for those of us who don't, so he says, shemefarin betocha ilfis lechem. So you crumble up bread into a pot, meaning so it was some type of a dish that had cooked bread in it. So remember, when the Gemara, for those who learn Daf Yomi, learning Parakira now, so some of the discussion is going to be the halachas of bishul. So when we use the term bishul in the technical sense, so it means that you're cooking something with a liquid intermediary. So the concept of bishul in this case is that you would be mevashel the bread in a liquid in a pot. And the Gemara is differentiating between when you take large pieces of bread, which are kezayis each, and you put them into the pot, then you would make a hamotzi on that. And when you take smaller pieces of bread and you boil them up, and that would be a mizonos and an almechi. So that's Rashi's understanding of what we're talking about over here. So according to Rav Yosef, when you boil up bread, so again, this was a dough, you made it into a loaf, you baked it in an oven, it comes out bread. And now you want to do something else to it. And you break it up into smaller pieces and you put it into a pot with liquid and you create this chavitza. So if the individual pieces of bread are a kezayis, then you would make a motzi lechem in aretz. And if the individual pieces are smaller than a kezayis, it would be mizonos and an alamechi. Okay. So that is the basis for what we're talking about over here. Next, so the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yosef, Minah Aminalah. So Rav Yosef explains, where do I know this idea from? And he has an interesting source from the Korban Mincha, the Tanya, which is also a Pesach Inyan, probably the most famous Korban Mincha of the year. It was brought at the beginning, the Korban Omer, right at the beginning of Pesach, second day of Pesach. So we have this Korban Mincha that we're talking about. So this is the following case. Omer, Baruch Shech Yonav Ikimon Avigin Lezman HaZeh, Notlan La'achlan, Mevarei Chamotzi Lechem Min HaAretz. So the rule is, what bracha besides shechianu would you make on a korban mincha? So if you want to eat a korban mincha, you have to make a hamotzi. V'tani Allah v'chulan posasin kezayis. All the pieces have to be a kezayis, meaning when you break it up after you bake it, in order to do the kamitza, the pieces should be big. They should be a kezayis each. And it sounds from that brisa that the necessity which necessitates a motzi lechem in haaretz is that it's supposed to be a kezayis. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye doesn't like that raya so much. Elamei ata l'tana debay Rabbi Yishmael d'amar. Rabbi Shmuel Shita is that you're not supposed to just break up the Korban Mincha into these big kezayis-sized pieces. You're supposed to break it up into much smaller pieces that it actually looks like flour. So you really grind it up to what we would call matzah meal. Right, so you really make it nice and tiny pieces. So hachanami deloma boy bruche amotzi lechem in haaretz. So you're telling me you wouldn't make amotzi on such a korban mincha? Of course you would. So he says, v'chitei malchanami. Maybe you'll say you don't make amotzi on such a korban. V'atanya, what the brisa says, lakat mikulan kezayis va'achlan. Let's say you took from these different menachos, you took different pieces of a korban mincha. As we know that most of the korban mincha could qualify as matzah. They were not chametz, although here we'll say it's a possibility that they could have been chametz. Is im chametz who, if these menachos were chametz onish karis, then you're chayv karis for eating them on Pesach. That's why I said there was a Pesach connection in this Gemara. V'matzahu adam yotze bo yidei chovaso b'Pesach. And if they are matzah, meaning if it was 99% of the menachos, which are matzah, so then you could be yotze, your chiyuv on the Seder night of eating matzah. Okay, so the Achronim ask all kinds of kashas over here. Is it really true? How can you be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah? There's a cute kasha that they ask. There's a din, ein yeshiva ba'azara. You can only eat a korban mincha in the azara. We have a rule, ein yeshiva ba'azara. You're not supposed to sit down in the azara. How are you supposed to do haseba if you eat the matzah? So that's one cute kasha. I saw other kashas that says that matzah is supposed to be eaten b'chol moshvoseichem tochel matzos, right? You're supposed to be able to eat them anywhere you want. This has to be eaten dafka in the Beis HaMikdash area, so that's not also a cute kasha. Okay, not for us right now. So the Gemara basically raises the issue. So Abaye says that you can be able to yotzei your chiyuv achilas matzah. And obviously it needs to be enough of a food that even if you ground it up into small pieces, you could be yotzi the mitzvah chilas matzah. Obviously, that's something you would make amotzi on, even if it was less than a kezayis. Gemara answers, achmayas kinan, kisha orson. It's that you rebaked it, you put it back together, you ground it up into matzah meal, and then you recreated a nice loaf out of it. You made some kind of a matzah creation, and that's what you would be making the hamotzi on. So ihachi, if that's true, imaseifa v'husha achlam mitnei achilas pras, right? You have to eat them within the shir of achilas pras. You have to make sure if you want to be yotze your mitzvah achilas matzah, and you're taking pieces from different menachos, you want to be eating them all in the shir of achilas pras, which is, you know, as we know from Pesach time, we say it's around anywhere between 2 and 9 minutes. So frag the Gemara, So what do you mean? If you're talking about it, you took the pieces and you put them together to create one new creation, so it should say she'achlo k'deachilas pras, not she'achlon k'deachilas pras. Okay, so then the Gemara weasels out of this one. They say, ha'ka b'mayas kinon b'bomi lechem gadol. It has to be, you know, kimta, that we're talking about a case where it started off as a really large piece of bread, and then you made it into a smaller piece of bread, and that's what it means. Husha achlan, took the pieces and you made them and you ate them together, but it was all from one big piece of bread. Okay, fine. So the Gemara asks now, my haveil. So what's the halacha? What is the halacha by chavitza? What do we do? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Sheshes, hai chavitza af agav de leis be pirurin kezayis. Even if you make a chavitza, and even if the pieces are small and they're not a kezayis, mevarich alav hamotzi lechem min haaretz. You have to make hamotzi. Amar Rava v'udiika lea torisa denama. But it needs to have the look of bread. It needs to have what we call in Hebrew tsuras hapas. The torisa denama is just fancy Aramaic for tsuras hapas. So just to summarize what we have in the Gemara, so we had the statement of Rav Yosef, which is that a chavitza, that that you would only make a hamotzi on a chavitza if it is a kazayas, if the pieces, each individual piece is a kazayas, but if the pieces were smaller than a kazayas, it would be a mizonos. And then the Gemara concludes at the end that, no, on a chavitza, even if the pieces are less than a kazayas, you would make a hamotzi, and Rava says, as long as it still has the tsuras hapas. So now, if we know what chavitza is, we'll know what to do in all of these cases. So we already said what Rashi says a chavitza. So how's Rashi going to learn this Gemara? Rashi says a chavitza is that you take pieces of bread and you boil them in a liquid. So you put them in a pot and you boil them. You create some kind of a bread boiled creation. Fine. So according to Rashi, we paskin that on any boiled bread creation, the pieces do not have to be a kezias lahalacha. As long as it still looks like bread, that's good enough. So it sounds from Rashi that the ikker thing that we're looking at is, does it have the tsuras hapas or not? That is really the only thing that we're actually concerned with. But it's not that big of a deal if we don't have it. Okay. If somebody could just tell me, was it necessary to have a password to get into the Zoom? If somebody could unmute themselves and tell me. It was not. Okay, so then it wasn't necessary. Okay, good. I know I tried to... let me just... Somebody asked me if they should send out the password now. Okay, good. Fine. I thought that would be the case, but... I don't know. For some reason, when I did my settings, it seemed that I couldn't disable the password. I don't know. Whatever. Maisa, if it worked out, great. Okay. So that is the Shita of Rashi. The problem, the halacha, is that the Rishonim generally disagree with Rashi on this one. If you look in source number 3, it's not a big Tosfos, but I only gave you one line from the Tosfos. Tosfos says, L'chein mireli chavitza hainu perurin hanidbakin yachad al yidei marak o al yidei cholav. So he says, chavitza is not what Rashi says. Now, there's a lengthy, really long piece in Rabbeinu Yonah over here where he goes through step by step why he doesn't agree with Rashi, and Tosos would sign on, I think, for most of that. So it's not really that you should check it out. It's mostly cheshbon that's not relevant to the discussion that I want to have tonight. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I'm just going to give you the punchline from Tosos and from Rabbeinu Yonah. So he says that I think that a chavitza is, you take these pieces of bread, you had a big loaf of bread, whatever it was, you broke it up into smaller pieces, and then you stuck them together, ayde marak, ayde chalav, you used some liquid intermediary, something sticky, to put them together and form a secondary substance. Kimo chavitza de tamre shenidbakin, right? And they talked about, in other mesechtas, they talk about a chavitza de tamre, you stuck some dates together to form like a cake out of the dates. So according to Tosfos, it's basically that you had a bunch of bread left over and you wanted to make something out of it. So you made a bread kugel or something to that effect where you stuck all the pieces of bread together and you formed a secondary creation. Now, he doesn't talk about what you did with it after that. I assume in some way, shape, or form, you have to bake it in an oven after that. But the baking is really not relevant to what would happen. The only thing that's really relevant to what would happen to the bread is if you would boil it in a liquid intermediary. I'll explain why that is shortly. And if you look in source number 4 in Rabbeinu Yonah, the Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah over here in the back of Maseches Brachos, so he says, well, the fichach nira, this is after a very long discussion back and forth in terms of trying to go through the different rayas, whether Rashi is right or not, and he says, therefore it appears, Shapirish anachonu kimo Shapirish Rabbeinu Haigon, Rav Nassan Bala Aruch Zal, quotes Rav Haigon, he quotes the Aruch, which is a Rishon, who wrote a Talmudic dictionary, the Chavitzahu, Shalokhim hapirurim mechabrim also yachad im hadvash o im hamarak belishum bishul klal. He says like Tosfos that it's you took all of these pieces of bread and you put them together with a liquid intermediary, but you didn't cook them together. You didn't do any boiling of the bread. So again, you took the, you know, I know people who make things like this where they'll take leftover challah and they'll take leftover bread and they'll make it into, they'll put it in a pan, in a kugel tin or something like that, and they'll add some eggs or whatever it is, and they'll stick it together, and then they'll bake it in the oven as is. So according to Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah, which is the way we paskin, that chavitza is a bread kugel, a bread creation that was not boiled afterwards. It might have been baked afterwards, it might have been in the oven afterwards together with its new ingredients, but it was not boiled in any kind of a liquid afterwards, and therefore it retains the status of bread. At the conclusion of the Gemara here, it says, again, Amar Rav Sheshes, what's the halacha? Hai chavitza afal gavda leis be pirurin kezayis. Even if the pieces of bread are not a kezayis, mavar chalev hamotzi lechem in haaretz. You're supposed to make a hamotzi, but Rava throws in, v'hahu de'ikar alea torisa denama. So the rule would be, according to Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah, that as long as it still looks like bread, the bracha would be amotzi lechem min haaretz, even if the pieces are not a kezayis each. So even if you had small pieces and you stuck them all together and you baked them to create a new entity, that would still be hamotzi, as long as when you looked at it you could still tell that it was bread. That is the way these Rishonim seem to learn. And then continuing on in this longer piece in Rabbeinu Yonah, now Rabbeinu Yonah gives you his famous three rules. So based on the Gemara and based on the way he defines chavitza, he's going to give you three rules. And basically, if you govern with these three rules, you'll pretty much know what to do with any bread or matzah-based creation going forward. So these are the rules. Alkei Nira Lemoria Rav Nira, or it's a quote side. This is my Rebbe, meaning the parish Rabbeinu Yonah was written by the students of Rabbeinu Yonah. So they quote their Rebbe, Natre Rachman of Aparke, right? He should have for Shlema, he should feel good, right? Shagimel Dinin Chalukin Hain. So there are three different halachos when it comes to bread-based creations. And these are the three golden rules. If you govern using these rules, you'll generally know what to do. Number one. Hecha shuhu mavushal. If you boil it in liquid, if you take bread and you use liquid to boil it up in a pot or something to that effect, so then there's only one variable. Im yeshbo beprusos kezayis, if the individual pieces of bread are the size of a kezayis, mavarech aleim hamotzi v'gimel brachos, then you have to make a hamotzi and bench on those pieces that used to look like, they used to be bread, now they are boiled bread. Vim ein beprusos kezayis, but if they are not a kezayis, afal gav de mechze de ika lea teresa denama, even if they still appear like bread, they look like bread, but they're smaller than a kezayis, ein om avarech alav elabori mine mezonos. You only make a mezonos on them, de kevan shuhu mevushal, lo toar lechem lo. That once it is cooked in a liquid, it does not have the toar lechem. It no longer has what we call the torisa denama. So we'll have to get back to what that means, that it doesn't have the toar lechem. Rabbeinu Yonah just said, if it looks like bread, you still don't make a hamotzi on it because it doesn't have a toar lechem. So what is that? We'll have to figure out what that means in a second. But that is rule number one. So again, just to reiterate, rule number one is if you took pieces of bread and you boiled them in a liquid, then they are not going to be amotzi unless each individual piece is a kezayis. Otherwise, it's not going to be amotzi even if the pieces still look like bread. Now, he doesn't say how long you're boiling it for. I don't know how to make bagels exactly, but I think when you make bagels, you put them in the boiling water for a very short period of time. I don't think they stay in the... But that's dough. That's a little bit different. So there's a different hak amongst the poskim. How long does it have to be boiled for? But there are poskim, I think, including the Chazon Ish, who say that even if it's boiled for a very short time, you just toss it into the boiling water, you put a spoon in there, you take it out, that's already enough to be mevatel it from the toar lechem. That is rule number one. Rule number two. The hecha she'eno mevusho. If it's not boiled, ela shehu mechubar al yidei dvash amark, this is what Rabbeinu Yonah thinks a chavitza is. So now he's going to go based on the Gemara. it's stuck together with liquid, with some kind of honey. You put some honey and some eggs in there, whatever it is. Below shum bishul, but you did not cook it in a liquid. You could rebake it, but you don't cook it in a liquid. Im yesh beprusos kezayis mevarech alav hamotzi. If the pieces are a kezayis, then for sure you're going to make a hamotzi. Ein beprusos kezayis, but if they're not a kezayis, ve'ein b'hem tohar lechem, and they don't look like bread at all. Mavarech aleihem bar minei mezonos. Then you make a mezonos. Avlam yesh bahem toar lechem. But if they do have the look of bread, aval pishein bahem kezayis mavarech aleihem hamotzi. Then you would make a hamotzi on them. And this is exactly what Rava said in the Gemara. If the pieces are a kezayis, then they don't have to look like bread. If they're not even a kezayis, but they look like bread, then you make a hamotzi also. And that is the case of Chavitza, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. And now we just go with rule number 3. Veheicha she'eno lo mevusha v'lo mechubar. And when you didn't really do anything to the bread, what did you do with it? Ela shehu pirurim levadam. You just broke it down into crumbs. This is what we would call breadcrumbs, or on Pesach, matzah meal. If you made matzah meal out of it, afal pi she'ein b'hem kezayis v'ein b'hem tohar lechem. They are neither very large, they're tiny little crumbs, and they don't look anything like bread. You look at matzah meal, it looks more like flour, dirty flour, than it does any kind of matzah or bread. She'ein dakin b'yose, that they're very, very tiny. Mavarech alav hamotzi v'gimel brachas. You make a hamotzi lechem in aretz, and you bench. She'kevan shehu pas b'fnei atzmo, eno yotzi li'ola mitoras pas. Once it is pas, it does not lose its status of bread until you have to do something to it to make it lose its status of bread. Okay, one more time, I'm going to go over the 3 rules because that is the foundation of everything else we're going to say. Rule number 1, according to Rabbeinu Yonah's rules, they're quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and they are fundamental to all of this. Rule number 1, if you boil up a piece of bread, if you put pieces of bread into a pot with liquid, it doesn't matter whether the liquid is milk, whether it's chicken soup, whatever it is, if it's boiled, then you're going to make it depends on one thing, sorry. You boil up the liquid, it depends on only one factor, which is, are the pieces a kezayis or not? If it's a kezayis, you make a hamotzi and you bench. If it is less than a kezayis, doesn't matter what it looks like, you automatically make a mezonos ala mechia. That is rule number 1. Rule number 2, if you didn't boil it in a liquid, but you added ingredients, you took the pieces of bread and you added ingredients to it. You added some eggs, you added some sugar, you added some milk, whatever it is, honey, right? And then you stuck it all together. Even if you baked it in an oven after that, that is going to be dependent on 2 factors. Number 1, are the pieces a kezayis? If they are a kezayis, then you're going to wash and bench on that, hamotzi and benching. If they're not a kezayis, then it's going to be dependent on whether it looks like bread or not. If it looks like bread, even if it's small pieces, you make hamotzi and bench. If it doesn't look like bread, then you make a mezonos ala mechia. And rule number 3, if you just grind it up into breadcrumbs or you grind it up into matzah meal, it is still hamotzi and benching. And that's why the poskim, the Shulchan Aruch, has this case where if you have a guy, he can't chew. Back in the day, I'm sure it was very common that people would lose their teeth and they wouldn't be able to chew matzah, especially if you have a particularly hard matzah. So the halach is you're supposed to grind it up into matzah meal, take a spoon, and be yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah with matzah meal. Don't eat whole pieces of matzah because you're not going to be able to do the mitzvah properly. So you should grind it up into matzah meal and eat it. You have to have some water to be able to gag it down. It's not so easy. But that's one way you could be yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah if you can't chew. You should eat it as matzah meal. And that's what we were saying in the Gemara, that you could be yotze yachiv achilas matzah with little pieces. And that is hamotzi and birkas hamazon according to that. This shita of Rabbeinu Yonah is quoted basically verbatim in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch goes with these 3 rules. Chavitza, right? He starts with a chavitza. What's a chavitza? Dina piruri lechem shenid bakim yachar al yemarakim nisbashel. right? So he says, if it's cooked, meaning in a liquid, im yesh bem kizayas afa pishein bo tora lechem avarach hamotzi berch samaza. So he says, if it's a kizayas, then you got to make amotzi and bench. Vim ein bo kizayas, if it's not a kizayas, afa pishein nirish yesh bo tora lechem, even if it still looks like bread, ein umavarach ela bore mine mizonos ubracha achas mein shalosh. Then you would make a mizonos, and you would make a mizonos and an alamechi. Next, ein umavushal ela shu mechubra idei dvash omarach. If it's not boiled in liquid, but it's just stuck together with some extra ingredients, if the pieces are kezayis, you make amotzi. Has to be recognizable by looking at it. You see, this is bread. Okay, so if you see that and that's bread, then mavarach lav amotzi berach samazon v'mein boem torah lechem mavarach borim minei mizonos ubracha achas mein shalosh. Right, so that's it. And if it doesn't look like bread and it's not a kezayis, then it's an mizonos alamechia. And then if it's just little pieces of it's breadcrumbs, then it's just a regular hamotzi and berachas hamazon. So that's again the Shulchan Aruch paskins straight as out of the Rabbeinu Yonah these three rules. Now, I just wanted to clarify a little bit of lumdus where I think the three rules are coming from and what they mean. And I don't remember him saying this, but I think I looked in Rav Willig's Am Mordechai on Brachos. I would have wanted to put it on the sheet, but it's not on the for some reason I was not able to get it on the Otzer HaChachma. They only have the Am Mordechai on Shabbos on the Otzer HaChachma for some reason. But I think this. I think he has this same lumdus in the Sefer. Again, it's one of those things that I thought of it on my own, but probably I heard it from him, and then I rethought of it after I forgot it. But or I didn't realize that I didn't really forget it. But basically, one second, I gotta check the chat here. Was Shabbos the first? No, Brachos was the first volume. I don't know. I don't know why it's not on the Ritzel Chachma. Maybe I just didn't search for it correctly, but I got that one, so I'm not sure why. But anyway, the lumdus, I think, in Rabbeinu Yonah is because he says two things. He talks about what is this Torisa Denama business? What does it mean that something has the tsura of bread? Right? What is it considered if something has the tsura of pas? It's a Torisa Denama. So really there's two dinim in what the tsura of bread is all about. So I'm just gonna The jargon that I want to use to explain Rabbeinu Yonah is basically there's something called the Shem Lechem and there's something called the Tzura of Lechem. Now, what do I mean by that? The Shem Lechem is when you take a dough of flour and water, and nowadays we add more than just flour and water, but basically flour and water. You take flour and water, you make a dough out of it, you bake it in an oven. That is pas, that is Lechem. And now it has the Shem Lechem on it, and it might also have the Tzura of Lechem on it. Now, in order to negate the Shem Lechem, it's not so easy, because the Shem Lechem goes on any dough that was baked in an oven, like bread is normally baked. However, there's one thing that runs counter to the entire concept of the Shem Lechem. And what is that? I don't know, you guys can unmute yourselves if you want, unless there's like a lot of noise in the background. I don't mind if everybody's off mute. But what is the thing that undoes the Shem Lechem? And that would be Bishul. Bishul is the opposite, and it's not in a world of opposites, but Bishul in this case is the opposite of Afia. Afia is what creates the Shem Lechem. Bishul undoes the Shem Lechem. If you took, for example, dough that you were going to use to make bread, but instead you broke it up into noodles, you broke it up into noodle shapes, and then you boiled it in water instead of baking it in an oven, that is never going to be considered bread. That's not what pas is. So who cares? It's still mizonos, meaning who cares if I use it to make a cake or I use it to make noodles? There actually is a nafkamina. The nafkamina is that noodles, if you decide you want to eat a huge you take the whole box of noodles, you take the whole box of macaroni, and you make a huge thing of macaroni and cheese, enough to feed an army, and you just eat the whole thing yourself. What bracha are you making on that? I don't know. Anybody know? I bet you everybody knows, but no one's telling. You would make a mizonos. Now, let's say, alternatively, you made cake, and you decided you were going to eat enough cake to feed an army. So you took a ton of cake, and you just ate a whole huge meal out of cake. What bracha would you make on that?
Hamotzi.
Because there, that's what we call pas. Pas, it's not bread that you'd normally make a hamotzi on, because it's what we call pas haba'a b'kisnin. Right? It's bread with additional ingredients, so you turned it into a cake. But if you ate an entire meal just out of cake, then you would wash and bench on that cake. You would never wash and bench on macaroni and cheese, or even just plain macaroni. You would never do that because that doesn't have the same lechem. The way you make noodles, it's the same dough, but you took the dough and you boiled it instead of baking it. So now, when you have a piece of bread, you can undo the same lechem from that piece of bread. What are you doing? You boil it up in liquid, which is the antithesis of what bread is all about. So now there's only one factor left. If you did not, if the pieces are still so large that they're a kezias each, you did not fully negate the shame lechem. Because if it's a kezias, that's, you can't undo things that are a kezias or more. It's a davar chashav b'fnei atzmo. A kezias is a chashav thing, and the fact that you boiled it doesn't really help. However, if the pieces are less than a kezias, so even if it looks like bread, that's the tsura of pas, but that's not the shame pas. And therefore, you really can negate the entire shame lechem by boiling it. That's why if you take the type number two, rule number two, you didn't boil the bread. So essentially, you didn't really negate the shame pas from it. So the only way to negate the shame pas when you do type, when you, in rule number two, you take the bread and you break it into smaller pieces than a kezias, you add a bunch of ingredients, and then you put it together, you bake it up in an oven, and it looks nothing like bread whatsoever. So you added these ingredients, you put it together, and the pieces are small, and people can't even recognize it as bread. So that sufficiently changed the tsura of pas to the extent that it doesn't have a shame pas anymore either. If it's going to be a kezias, you're not going to be able to negate the shame pas no matter what. But if it's less than a kezias and there's other ingredients in there and you rebaked it, you stuck it together and you made a different tsura out of it, then if it looks nothing like bread and the pieces are small, so it doesn't have the tsura sapas, and it doesn't even have the shame pas because you've really created something completely new. But kol zman, it has any kind of one or the other residual effect of being bread, you would make a hamotzi on it. And rule number three is breadcrumbs or matzah meal, since you broke it up into little pieces, it doesn't change anything because that's just a smaller version of the original pas. Even though it doesn't have the tzura pas, you never did anything to negate the shame pas, and therefore it's still considered bread. Okay, now let's talk how this would play out in the practical world. So, I don't know, at the beginning I tried to list off a few things on the top of the page. So we have, I don't know if that's how you spell matzah brei. If it's not, sorry. Matzah brei, matzah lasagna, matzah kugel, knedelach matzah balls, matzah pizza, and matzah rolls. Okay, so those are some of the things that those who partake in gebrachs tend to enjoy over the course of Pesach. So in my house, the way they make matzah lasagna is you take large pieces of matzah, you soak them in some water to soften them up a little bit, and then you layer on some cheese and some sauce, and you put it together and in a pan, and you rebake it. There was never a point where the matzah was boiled. So the only factors that should play a role is, number one, are any of the individual pieces of matzah still a kezias? Or can you tell that it's matzah? Does it look anything like matzah? So if you really soaked it in water to the extent that now it looks nothing like matzah, okay, so then you took away the tzura of the pas. So if their pieces are still going to be a kezias, it's going to still be hamotzi. But if they're not going to be, if the pieces are broken up into small and smaller, smaller than a kazayas, then you're going to make a mezonos. So in my opinion, based on every matzah lasagna I've ever seen in my life, you can still tell that it's made from matzah. And therefore, kemat every matzah lasagna is going to have one factor or the other. It's either going to be, it wasn't boiled, and therefore it the pieces are going to be a kazayas big, and it's going to be hamotzi, or it's going to, even if the pieces are cracked into smaller slices and smaller pieces, it's going to have the factor that it looks like matzah, and it's going to be hamotzi either way. Even though you added those other ingredients, since it was not boiled, that's case number one, and that applies to a lot of different matzah creations. The question, and that would apply to that would apply to a matzah kugel as well. So there's different kinds of matzah kugel. I've had matzah kugel where you can tell that it's matzah. Definitely, I've never had a matzah kugel where you took the pieces of matzah and they still were kazayas big. I'm not talking about machmir kazesim here. We're not talking about the Seder night where you have to eat a lot of matzah to be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah. We're talking about, let's say, if the actual volume, if you ground it up, it would form a shot glass. Not such machmir kazesim, you know, 1/5 of a machine matzah, one quarter of a machine matzah, something like that. I don't think most matzah kugels are going to have a piece of matzah that is actually a kazayas big. So under those circumstances, you only really have one question left. You put in lots of other ingredients, and you baked it in a tin, so it's not boiled with any kind of a liquid. It was just rebaked. And it has those other ingredients in it. So does it look like matzah or doesn't it look like matzah? In this case, you're going to have some matzah kugels that the actual bracha is going to be a mezonos, because if you don't know that it's a matzah kugel, you won't realize that those pieces that you're looking at used to be matzah. And other matzah kugels are going to be hamotzi, because you're going to look at them and you're gonna realize, oh, those are pieces of matzah that are inside the kugel, and therefore it still has the tzura of lechem. And therefore, some matzah kugels are gonna end up being hamotzi, and some matzah kugels are gonna be a mezonos. And you can't know until you look at each individual one. So I would say most matzah lasagnas are gonna be hamotzi, unless it's something I personally have never seen before. And some matzah kugels are going to be hamotzi, and some of them are going to be mezonos. Now, one thing that's important to keep in mind, I didn't give you that Mishnah Brura on the sheet, but if we paskin that you would make a mezonos in this case, the Mishnah Brura points this out, and it's very clear from the Rishonim, that means you were completely mevata the shem pas, and you would never wash and bench on it. It would always be a mezonos ala michya, no matter how much of it you ate. So therefore, if you ate a huge matzah kugel that was a mezonos matzah kugel, it doesn't matter that you ate a whole meal just out of matzah kugel, you still wouldn't wash and bench on that, because it loses its shem pas, and therefore it also loses its shem pas of a bekisnin. Okay, and matzah pizza is an easy one also, because generally speaking, unless you somehow made a brand new crust out of matzah meal, which we'll get to in a second, that would be a case where you just take the matzah and you spread the sauce and cheese on the matzah in some way. That would for sure be a hamotzi, according to all the opinions, because you didn't do anything to be mevatel it. Chances are the pieces of matzah are a kazayas, and they look like matzah. So both factors together certainly make it to a hamotzi. The one that gets complicated is matzah brai. Now, why is matzah brai very complicated? So if you look in the Mishnah Brura, in source number 6, he quotes first from the Magen Avraham. I should have given you the Magen Avraham also, but I forgot to do that. So he says that v'im lo bishlam b'kedera. Okay, so how do you make matzah brai? So the way I do it, I don't make so much matzah brai in my life, but you know, I think I've done it in the past. The way I make matzah brai is I take the matzah, soak it in a little bit of water, soften it up a little bit, and then you break it up into pieces, and you add some eggs to it, and you fry it up in a frying pan together with the eggs and the salt and whatever else. And you can make it sweeter, you can make it salty, however you personally prefer it. But it gets fried in a frying pan, it's not boiled in water. So I'm going to try to find a picture of matzah brei for you. Right, so here. So let me share this with you. Let me just undo my sharing over here. I'll share a different picture on the screen. Sorry about that. I'm still bad at this after all this time. Here. So if everybody can see it. So this is one version of matzah brei. Good news, it's vegetarian. It's probably not vegan, though, so I don't want anything to do with it. But this is matzah brei. So you can see, basically, by looking at it, that it has a tzura of matzah. So there's only one factor that we need to figure out. When you fry it in a frying pan, does that count as bishul, or does that count as baking? Right? So frying it in a little bit of oil, is that considered boiling it? Because none of these pieces are a kazayas, right? You know, even if you have a makel kazayas, none of these pieces are a kazayas. If the pieces are kazayas, you got nothing to worry about, it's hamotzi. If none of the pieces are kazayas, then you have to deal with the secondary issue. If you boiled it, it's going to be mizonos no matter what. If it's not considered boiled, fried is considered like you baked it, then you have to deal with whether or not it looks like bread. So this is the suffix that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. He quotes from the Magen Avram. Over here he says, Mashra mi Magen Avram, Sifkat Lamed Vav, Dim lo ave kibishul, Umahani be Torah lechem kemola kamei ba'ofen hasheni. He says that it sounds in the Magen Avram that frying it in a frying pan is good enough and it's not considered bishul. Lefidas shari achronim sham, ein echrech lidvara, v'anachon shebetigun lo yochal, b'sheyesh bo Torah lechem ki im betoch hasuda. So he says that the problem is that there's a machlokes amongst the achronim what to say in this case. And therefore, we're not sure whether frying something has a din of bishul or whether it has a din of, baking. And because it's a tiny amount of liquid, it's not like you doused it in liquid and it was now boiled up. And it's not as if it was baked with no liquid. So therefore, we're not sure how to treat it. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says you're better off only having matzah brei in the middle of a meal, because it may be in that second category, but it may be considered in the first category that it was boiled. Kol zeh b'she'in b'hem kezayis. Obviously, that's only if the pieces are small enough. Kezayis avlam tigin prusos she'ish b'hem kezayis. If you had a big enough pieces that had a kezayis, afilu azaleh ator lechem poshet demavarach hamotzi. Right? He says, obviously, if it's big enough to be a kezayis, so then it would be a hamotzi. I'm skipping the Shaarat Zion over here. And the Chazanish also, Chazanish deals with this suffix as well. It says, nitkan, if you fried it, afilu in kezayis v'yeshba torisa denama. I misspelled that word. Sorry about that. So he says tzarech netilas yadayim berachas hamazon. So he says that. So the Chazon Ish's shita is that frying is not considered like boiling it. V'hilkach matzah shenitkan v'chein hamenichem perurei matzah b'machvas adagim sheish lam tigon tzarech netilas yadayim berachas hamazon. So he says if you fry matzah, then it's going to be it's going to require amotzi versus amazon. After prusas chusin mikazayis, kim sheish b'yan torisa denama. Right? So he says that if you take matzah and you fry it, he says he has a metzias over there where they were frying fish and they wanted to throw in some matzah together with the fried fish. You fry up some matzah. He says you would have to make a hamotzi and berks amazon on that particular matzah brei. So according to Chazon Ish, matzah brei is hamotzi as long as it looks like bread. And according to Mishnah Berurah, it's a suffix. Is matzah brei hamotzi or mizonos? He's not sure. So he says, just eat it during, you know, you should wash on some matzah before you eat the matzah brei, and then you don't have to worry about it. But that's already a suffix in the Mishnah Berurah. And it's all based on the question, does this fit into rule number one of Rabbeinu Yonah, or does it fit into rule number two? If it's considered that when you fried it in the frying pan, then it was like you boiled it. So then the only thing that matters is it a kazayis? If when you put it in the frying pan, it's like you baked it. So then it's considered it's like category number two. And as long as it looks like bread, it's hamotzi. So there's a sefer that I saw quoted, Sefer Birch Sanen. He quotes from his uncle, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that he says you should try to get out of this suffix you should try to get out of the suffix by first, instead of soaking the bread, like I said, just boil the bread in some water before you add it to the matzah brei. Take the matzah, put it in some boiling water, and it doesn't sound like it has to be in there for a very long time. Put it in some boiling water, and then take it out, and then fry it in the frying pan, and make sure the pieces are less than a kezias, and you're good to go. That is the Shita of Shlomo Zalman. So I have this sefer at home, I got it off the Otzar Chachma website to put here. Rav Moshe Sternbach, in his Ha'aris on Maseches Brachos, he has a sefer on Maseches Brachos called Pshat V'Iyun. He says, he quotes the Magen Avram, whoever thinks that frying is like boiling, that's talking only about deep frying. He says, deep frying is like boiling. Regular frying, that's not like boiling. Regular frying is much more similar to baking, to make a thin layer of oil, or like what we do where we spray the pan with cooking spray, with Pam, with olive oil, whatever it is. That for sure is not like boiling. If you would take a matzah brei, so if you're going to take a matzah brei and deep fry it in oil, you know, if you're in a restaurant or something like that where nobody cares about the healthiness of the food, they're just trying to, you know, make the food taste as good as possible. Maybe they want to deep fry the matzah brei. In hotels, I don't know how they do it in hotels, but let's assume in a hotel kitchen where they're making 10 tons of matzah brei and they want to just get it out there quickly and have it be really tasty, so maybe they're going to deep fry the matzah over there. And that's where you end up with a suffix of maybe it's considered boiled. But in most kitchens, you're just putting a thin layer of oil or cooking spray or something like that. That's for sure going to be hamotzi on that matzah brei. He has no question about it. So we're left kind of with a suffix when it comes to matzah brei, just to get to the list on the top. So again, matzah brei is a difficult one because we don't know what the status of frying is. It's a suffix in the Mishnah Berurah based on the different achronim. So he suggests just eat it during a bread meal. Unless you want to make the matzah brei like it's a big pancake and, you know, you put in a whole kezias of matzah and you eat it, so then you would make hamotzi because it's a kezias. But most matzah brei is broken up into pieces, and in that case, you would have a suffix should you wash or should you say a mezonos. Mishnah Berurah recommends getting out of the suffix by washing, or Shlomo Zalman says you can get out of the suffix by boiling the matzah a little bit in advance. And by the way, you don't have that same suffix by French toast. Basically, matzah brei is the same as French toast. You're just adding the eggs and whatever else, and you put it in a frying pan. So French toast is easier because it's easier to get a kezias of toast than it is to get a kezias of matzah. So most, unless you specifically make a piece of French toast that's dafka cut into little pieces in advance, so then, generally speaking, each slice of French toast is going to be at least a kezias, and you're going to have to wash on that. But for matzah brei, you're a little bit stuck. And so either you can wash, like the Mishnah Berurah says, you can boil the bread, like Rav Shlomo Zalman says, or you can rely, like Rav Sternbach says, that of course, our frying on a thin layer of oil, that's for sure not considered, considered boiling it. And you would be chayav to make a hamotzi on the matzah brei. So again, just to go over, matzah brei, we said, was a suffix. Matzah lasagna, I'd say almost for sure hamotzi. Matzah kugel, it depends. Does the kugel look like it's made out of matzah? Then it's hamotzi. If it doesn't look like it's made out of matzah, if it just looks, you know, it just looks like a kugel of some sort, then it would be mezonos. Now we didn't get to knedelach yet. Matzah pizza, hamotzi, and now the hard ones: knedelach, matzah balls, and matzah rolls. I don't know if you guys ever had matzah rolls. I've had both very good ones and very bad ones.
Would you be required to follow through with that in terms of, like, for example, kashering your pot for Pesach?
Would you, meaning,
like, if you did Haggalah on your pan, could you then say that the matzah brei wasn't cooked?
You're saying to kasher the frying pan in the same way that you trafed it up?
No, meaning, would you have to follow through on the assumption that a tzigun isn't considered bishul?
Yeah, that's a general problem with frying pans. Like, if you're going to trafe something up, don't trafe up a frying pan because you have this exact problem, because you don't know how to kosher it properly. We're machmir that if you trafe up a frying pan with a thin layer of oil, then you might have to do Libun on that frying pan, which would, I think, destroy the Teflon on the frying pan. So really, you know, basically end up some, you know, I mean, you could try it, but I don't think try it doing some kind of Libun
on it. Based on the possibility that it's, that Tigon isn't Bishul, or, sorry, the possibility that Tigon isn't Bishul, or is it, like, assuming that Tigon is definitively not Bishul?
Well, I think Rov Achronim assume that Tigun is not Bishul, but you have this Magen Avram to contend with where he seems to say that it is. There's a little bit of a steer in the Magen Avram also. It's a weird situation. But it has ramifications throughout. It has ramifications for Basa B'Cholov. It has ramifications for reheating foods on Shabbos. It has ramifications for what bracha to make also and how to kasher it. So basically you end up with this suffix that we're, that we, the Mishnah Berurah is not so happy with. But the Chazon Ish says, no, if you, you know, if you fry matzah for sure, it's considered as, you know, that was not baked, it was baked, and it's not a problem. The Chazon Ish is less concerned. So there's different, I don't know, I didn't look around so much, but some of the, like, very late Achronim, they say, yeah, that's dafka because it's matzah, but bread might be different. Matzah is harder to lose its tzura, or whatever it is. I'm not sure, but either way, you're left with this suffix. So let's just do with the last case. And this comes up in the Magen Avram in Sivkat Mechav Ches, where he says, let's say you take bread and you make, you know, breadcrumbs out of it or matzah meal out of it. And then you knead it back together. And then you rebake it. So you basically take matzah meal and you make some kind of Pesach bread out of matzah meal. So this, you know, my mom, I don't know if she still makes it, but she used to make these, and they were very good. You could have matzah rolls, and you can spread some cream cheese in there and whatever, and it's a you know, nice thing to have on Pesach. So I never knew what bracha to make on these matzah rolls, because according to the Magen Avram, you would make a hamotzi if you formed a creation out of matzah meal. And you formed a bread type creation out of matzah meal. Even if it doesn't look so much like bread, these matzah rolls, they look a little like bread, but they don't look so much like bread. You would have to make a hamotzi, and he has a strange svar as to why. The hamikre pirurin sheyesh lem kezayis l'Rabbeinu Yona, uva kezayis lo boi toar lechem. So he says that because this is considered that the pieces are kezayis big, because you took all these micro pieces and you smushed them all together and you made a big roll out of it, and now it's considered like this is a new piece of bread that's still a kezayis, and you don't need it to look so much like bread. And then he goes even further, umash masham she'afilu mitugonim b'shemen b'tchila dumya d'menachos k'mosh kaz v'atosvos fa'amim kein osim sh'osim Primzlach milechem mefurar o milechem shori b'mayim tzarech levarech hamotzi kevan shetchilaso ayalechem lo nafak mitores pas ad she'ein b'chol echad kezayis. So here he says that even if you fry them, then you would still need to make a hamotzi, because you formed a piece that was as big of as a kezayis. I don't know exactly what primzlach are, but he says if you make these bread creations, and even if you fry them after that, it's still considered that it's like you took bread that was baked and it's still a kezayis. So even if you boiled it after the fact, it's still going to be a hamotzi. So the Mishnah Berurah is not so into this Magen Avram, and he says Ayin Magen Avram Hashikasa Bezeh Vahaskamas Harbe Achronim Dim Bishlam BeKedera O Tignam BeMachvas BeMashke DeChashiv KeBishul Im He says, if you take these bread creations and you fry them, right? I don't know if you guys make these at home, but we used to make these matzah pancakes called kremzlach. I don't know if that's what he means by primzlach, but so we made these kremzlach, but that's a little different anyway, because you're adding a lot of sugar and eggs and stuff like that. So he says, but if you boil them and what? You take the matzah meal, you add some eggs, and you add a little bit of salt or whatever, and you make a matzah ball out of it, and then you're going to boil it up. So he says, even if each matzah ball, I imagine each matzah ball is way more than a kezayis. So he says, mevarech aleihem borei minei mezonos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, of course you'd make a mezonos on a matzah ball. There's no question. You're boiling it up afterwards, and it's not that the piece itself used to be a kezayis and now it's a kezayis. So if you feel im achal harbe, even if you eat, and he goes in, he says, even if you eat a whole meal of just matzah balls, still it doesn't matter, because Because it's once it's no longer considered bread, it's not something that you would wash on. Yeah, Uriel, what?
Is this in the Shabbat that he says it, that he's matir eating matzah balls like before Pesach?
Maybe. Probably not. Probably he would even be matir if you ate regular matzah that you boiled, like that was bigger than a kezias. I don't think he would say for sure that I don't want to say for sure, but my instinct is to say that it's not the same because I think he's more along the lines of anything that doesn't have the exact tam of matzah there. So the Gemara says if you boiled matzah and it doesn't have the tam of matzah anymore, even though it's exactly a piece of matzah, still you're allowed to eat it on. You're not yotze with it, and the poskim say
it's
you could.
Din tzura.
What?
It's not din
tzura. I don't think it's din tzura. I think it's a din in the tam matzah that the flavor should be exciting. It should be something new. Okay, but you could be right. I don't want to say 100%. So here he says that on knedelach and matzah balls you for sure make a mizonas. But let's say you bake them. So matzah balls, the Mishnah Berurah says for sure, forget about that mug and Avram. You're not gonna make a hamotzi on a matzah ball. You're gonna make a mizonos. And even if you ate a whole meal of them, you'd still make a mizonos. He says, but let's say you bake them into a matzah roll. Says Nachon Shelo Yochlam Ki Im B'Toch Asuda. Says there you got me. I'm a little stuck. Says I don't know what to say. So because on one hand you made them into matzah meal, then you put them back into a dough and you rebake them. So is that going to be bread? On one hand, like, maybe it's bread. You know, you never did anything to completely destroy the tzura, the shame pas. Because on the other hand, it's such a new creation. Is it still in its original status? He's not sure. So LMK Nilosh Barov Shuman, unless you added so much ingredients, so Dvash, the Azbarchalan Barimazos. So if you added so much sweetener or fat or whatever it is, or margarine, that now it's gonna be a new creation altogether. So then okay, fine, then you make a mizonos. But if you just made it into a roll, right, then Giblon Bamayim Levat. So on the last point where he says if you just soaked it, Vafan Yeshalam Din Pas Gomer, then for sure it would be considered pas. So bottom line, the Mishnah Berurah is pretty clear that if you were eating a matzah ball, that would definitely be mizonos, and you're adding in the other factor that you. If you added on the additional factor that you added more ingredients and then you boiled it up, then I think everybody would agree it's pashut that you would make a mizonos on matzah balls, even according to the Magen Avraham, but definitely according to Rov Achronim, you'd make a mizonos on matzah balls either way, but matzah rolls, that's a hard one. So matzah rolls, Mishnah Berurah says, don't eat them unless you're in the middle of a meal that you already washed on. Because not sure what to say about that. So matzah rolls, I'm still stuck on. I don't know what the answer is. Matzah brai, probably, if the pieces are not a kezias, it's probably hamotzi. But again, try to avoid the suffix if you can. Everything else, we basically came to a clear conclusion one way or the other. Okay.
What about like Sephardim? We like say that the matzah mizono is all year round?
Yeah, so Sephardim, it gets a little more complicated. Let's just assume for argument's sake on Pesach, where even Sephardim would make a motzi on matzah, even though they make a mizonos the rest of the year. So let's assume for argument's sake that in the case of matzah brai and the matzah and the matzah rolls, probably Sephardim would also make a mizonos on that, because you can't be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah on these particular items. So it really depends on why you say Sephardim would make a hamotzi on matzah on Pesach. Is it because, like, once you could be yotzei the mitzvah achilas matzah with it, so you gotta call it bread for 7 to 8 days of Pesach, but still not bread the rest of the year. But if you can't be yotzei the mitzvah matzah with it, so then it would just go back to being mizonos. So probably in all the cases that Ashkenazim have a suffik, Sephardim would say for sure you make a mizonos in those cases. That's what I would guess. So, okay, yashar koach, guys. Have a good evening, a good moed.
Yeah.